The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction of our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Thank you. And now it's time for The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show.
You are listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network at eurofolkradio.com. And now, it's the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello everybody, and today I'm delighted to have my good old friend Dr. Eric Karlstrom returning. And what we're going to be doing, folks, is we're going to be doing a part two of his show that we did recently on Mafia States, gang stalking, torture and terrorism of civilians. So I'm going to bring him up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you, Andy. Good to be talking to you again on this important subject.
Absolutely. And folks, what we're going to start off with is I'm going to read the show description from part one of this show, just to sort of set the scene for Eric here, and also to set the scene for yourselves listening, because it's really interesting information. This show went out on June the 7th, so just about a month ago, and in it we discussed Eric's song Ode to Jimmy that we played at the start of the show, how one third of American soldiers in Vietnam in 1970 were hooked on heroin provided by the CIA, how the secret weapons the National Security Racketeering Network's counterintelligence stalking operations are using against targets include no-touch torture, non-lethal electromagnetic frequency weapons and neuroweapons, all developed by the CIA and the DOD from the 1940s onward, how totalitarian societies get rid of their enemies via this global gang stalking system, the Department of Homeland Security's plans to make 100 million Americans into citizen spies, how $50 trillion has recently gone missing from the US budget, mostly via the Department of Defense, how to identify the perpetrators of gang stalking, how the program causes the criminalization, weaponization and satanization of society, the elite's plan to ascend to godhood via robotics, secret mapping and digitization of human brains and nervous systems, how we need to pray to God but keep rowing to shore and identify and prosecute the architects and perpetrators of this diabolical system, and many other topics. So, Eric, over to you. Where do you want to continue from today?
Yeah, Andy, well, you know, well, the 4th of July, of course, is our national celebration here in America of our independence. And, you know, most of the people that I see and know are all geared up for having a little holiday and going to parade and feeling wonderful about being, you know, in America. And America is a beautiful country, and I love America, and I believe that what I'm doing is the patriotic thing. But there is a, you know, there is an entire history that most Americans are unaware of that, you know, we're trying to expose a little bit, because you can't understand the present unless you understand something of the past. And so much of our past has been, you know, it's been kind of edited out. You know, it's classified, it's national security, ma'am, you know, let's not look at that. But there is a lot of material that is out there, so much so that it's actually overwhelming if you start digging into it. And so, you know, I would like to talk about this system, this diabolical system that we talked about last week, last month, which I do believe is probably the best interview I've ever done with anybody, and I've been doing interviews since about 2007. And the reason it's the best is because, you know, I'm learning all the time, and I'm reading and getting feedback, and as a targeted individual myself, of course, I get a chance to see this system, you know, directly as it is thrown at me. So I'm putting all these pieces together. and starting to and working pretty hard. You know, I retired from my 30-year university teaching career in 2011. And I've been working on 5 websites ever since, and these are, 911NWO.com, naturalclimatechange.com or .org, San Luis Valley Waterwatch.com, and EricCarlstrom.com is my music website. That's because I love music and have been playing it all my life, and have many CDs. And then the one that we're really focusing in on now is gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, which is a little too long, so I've got another one that'll get you there. It's called globalgestapo.com. Now, this is should be of tremendous interest to everybody, because basically we are, you know, in the quote-unquote civilized world. I would say we... Our civil society is now uncivil because of this program, but we're paying for this. I mean, our tax money is going into this system and has supported these programs, these black operations, really for many, many decades. And the fact that, say, most Americans and other people in the world maybe don't know anything about the FBI's COINTELPRO or counterintelligence program of the 50s and 60s and 70s, where they targeted innocent Americans who were considered leftist or political dissidents, you know, and killed people like Martin Luther King and killed 28 Black Panthers. The fact that people don't know that and killed, innocent people, actresses like Jean Seberg and authors like Ernest Hemingway. I mean, the government can be a ruthless killer, and of course it has all the resources at its disposal to cull the population, especially people that it doesn't approve of what they're doing. Most people don't know anything about the Phoenix program, where the CIA and the U.S. Army were taking out civilians in Vietnam that supported the Vietnam infrastructure. Most people don't know anything about the Manhattan Project of the Mind, which the U.S. government undertook in the 40s, 50s, and 60s and onward still today, under the CIA's MK Ultra, Bluebird, Artichoke, MK Search, MK Delta, MK Naomi, go on and on and on and on, you know, Stargate, the remote viewing, et cetera. These are the things that I've studied since I retired in 2011 from my 30-year teaching career and have been devoting my energies to understanding. And in the year 2013, I realized that I myself was a target. And interestingly enough, this came right after spending all of 2012 writing a very, very in-depth article called Mind Control, History and Applications, which was like going into the ninth circle of hell in Dante's Inferno, because this stuff is deeply, deeply satanic. And the fact that, you know, our government figured out how to create a mind control slave, perfected the means to do that back in the 50s and 60s through hypnosis and electromagnetism and the drugs, et cetera, and satanic ritual abuse, trauma-based abuse. The fact that our government did this without the authorization or even the knowledge of the American people is deeply disturbing. So Americans need to learn about this. So with that little intro, let me push it forward a little bit. I've posted our last interview, which I think was, again, my best summary. In fact, I read my summary from gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, which is quite a recent synopsis of the program. It's very complex. And it has many pieces and many parts. It involves virtually all aspects of society to take out individuals that are targeted. And these are people usually who are put on the terrorism watch list. You know, this is through the Department of Homeland Security, the Neighborhood Watch, local police, FBI, et cetera. So there's an entire elaborate system. We have somewhere between 3 and 20 plus million people on the terrorism watch list. Of course, terrorism is a completely... a fraudulent accusation, and the greatest terrorist, of course, are governments, and the U.S. government is the greatest terrorist state in world history. And because it has, you know, terrorism is a form of war. So you can't have a war on war unless you want just perpetual war. Terrorism is the use of violence or the threat of violence to subjugate domestic populations. And this is exactly what we have, you know, with 9/11 and 7/7 and all these bombings and shootings, et cetera. All this is domestic terrorism sponsored by the Department of Defense and the intelligence agencies, what we're calling the National Security Racketeering System. Again, last week I read the very top of my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com homepage, which is my latest synopsis of May 30th, 2019. And I believe that I pretty much hit the nail on the head. I'm learning, you know, they don't send you a letter, say, okay, now you're in the program and here's what we're going to do to you. But if you read widely, as a professor like myself can do and does, you start to see the commonality all over the world of the people who are being subjected to this no-touch torture system. Very, very elaborate, but all the pieces are there in the patents, in the military doctrine, in the military documents, in the books. Let me just give you a couple books here that I started with, which I think are still some essential reading for everybody who wants to understand not just this program, but the world we live in. There's a complete cognitive dissonance between the people who are going to the 4th of July parades, you know, day after tomorrow, and what's really going on. What's really going on is America is the world's greatest warfare state, including terrorism, and we pay for this with, you know, some $700 billion of tax money per year, and which is, you know, more than the next 10 countries combined. And, of course, we are the world's policemen. And now, through the NSA spying, which has, you know, become publicized over the years by Edward Snowden and others, it's well known that the NSA is trying to get metadata on everybody in the world so as to identify those people who are considered a potential threat or potential terrorist threat, which, of course, is nonsense, because they're the people that are actually paying attention and trying to make the world a better place, you know. But we now have a state run by criminals, so their crimes must not be exposed. So the people that are capable of exposing these crimes then become the enemy. So everything is very Orwellian and very upside down and backward. But, you know, I've quoted William Binney, who, you know, made a movie of him, The Good American. Well, he quit from the NSA in 2001 because the program that he supposedly had written called Operation Stellar Wind and was supposed to get terrorists in foreign countries was being turned on Americans. And he said so. And, of course, then he was stalked and harassed and the FBI came, you know, to his door and, you know, pulled him out of a shower with a gun to his head and things like that. But he said basically what this program does, and he wrote the program, he said this program identifies the people who are not doing what the government wants them to do, and then it gets rid of them. In other words, it kills them. So now we are paying the U.S. government to kill Americans and other citizens around the world. Now, that's a criminal state. I mean, that is a state which has torn up the contract with the people, which, of course, is the U.S. Constitution in the case of our government. That is a government which has gone rogue in every sense of the word. That's why we use the word mafia states last time. So William Binney got a movie made about him, The Good American, because he was honest, he was a whistleblower. Well, what about the 24,999 bad Americans who are still working at the NSA and spying on us? Or however many, that's a guess. They don't tell us exactly how many are there, but the NSA is the biggest of all the 17 intelligence agencies in America. And, of course, CIA is probably still the most powerful. But NSA and CIA are joined at the hip, as well as the FBI, and they're all joined at the hip with Mossad. And Mossad seems to be the tail that's wagging the dog, or the Israel does seem to be, because Israel, through its contacts, gets all this NSA data, metadata on everybody first, and it does it through corporations that are front corporations for Israel, like AT&T, which has, you know, huge dark concrete buildings all over the country, recently exposed that this is a system then that works very closely with NSA to identify and collect all the data on Americans. So this then is how the surveillance society can turn into the global Gestapo, as I call it, or the global gang-stalking Gestapo, G3, if you wish. But you know, as we discover this, we're rediscovering the wheel. Other people have discovered this. TIs have written about this. Very, very smart people. Harlan Girard sued the government, didn't get anywhere, but he wrote a bunch of good articles saying exactly what's going on. Carol Welsh, same thing. Dr. Ronnie Kilda, former chief medical officer of Finland, was stalked and harassed and gang stalked for some 30 or 40 years before she was killed, probably by an induced heart attack, which of course they can do electromagnetically. The thing is that these are weapons that people can't see. They've weaponized the electromagnetic spectrum and all the frequencies and wavelengths they're in. But let me go back to the couple books that I would implore people to spend a little money to, so they can protect themselves in the future, their children, their grandchildren, themselves. Here's a great book by Marshall Thomas, Monarch, the New Phoenix Program. Okay, let me define the terms here. What's Monarch? What's the Phoenix Program? Okay, what's Monarch? Andy, have you heard of Monarch? You probably have.
Well,
most people out of your audience.
I'm trying to think of what it is. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's the DOD, the Department of Defense, operationalized the MKUltra studies that were, again, top secret, in which the CIA was working with top psychologists and sociologists and other scientists from top universities around America in top secret conditions for many years, finding ways to get to control individuals without their knowledge. In other words, to make a Manchurian candidate assassin who could be programmed to kill somebody, create a multiple personality disorder through trauma. It's also called dissociative identity disorder now. This is what the CIA and these psychiatrists like Dr. Ewan Cameron and Jolyon West, and I'd like to do a whole show about these evil geniuses. This is really the hall of shame of humanity, because what they've learned to do is overthrow human consciousness and autonomy and freedom in very covert ways, now often involving electromagnetics. So Monarch is the operational use of what they learned in the MKUltra mind control programs of the 50s and 60s and onward. And there were 149 sub-programs that we know of from documents that were found by a Freedom of Information Act, actually accident, because the CIA tried to destroy all these documents. But we learned a lot, and much has been written. And we know who did what, and the pattern is that people like Sirhan Sirhan, who was the official murderer of RFK, Robert Kennedy, was the patsy, a mind-controlled patsy at that, has no recollection of doing even being there that night. Lee Harvey Oswald was a mind-controlled patsy. He, of course, didn't shoot, but he was mind-controlled with these technologies. Well, Monarch is the use of these technologies to create a mind-controlled slave. And it can be done remotely through electromagnetics, through remote neural monitoring, remote neural manipulations. There's many names for this, and it is being done. And most people haven't the clue that this is happening right now, that there are a very, very large number of people, millions, maybe tens of millions, maybe more, that are actually mind-controlled. Your neighbor could be mind-controlled. I mean, it's quite frightening once you start to see it. Now, there's many movies about this. You know, The Manchurian Candidate came out in 1962 with Frank Sinatra. Excellent movie. The year before Kennedy was assassinated, this technology was out there. And yet, Americans don't know. And yet, the patents are there. If people want to look at the patents, and I've got them on my website, I've got so much data on my website. My gang-stalking, mindcontrolcults.com website has almost 1,100 entries now, posts, many of which I've written, but many of which are from elsewhere, and many interviews, many YouTubes, which, Andy, perhaps you realize are now being taken down. As I go through my website, I see lots and lots of gray boxes where there once was a YouTube. So these things are being censored as we speak. But let's go back to this book, Monarch, the New Phoenix Program. Okay, so I just told you Monarch is how the Department of Defense, our Army and our militaries, not just the U.S., but U.S. lead agency for sure, can take somebody that they don't like, somebody, for instance, maybe who's a truth teller, somebody who's a whistleblower, somebody that gets in their way and they can remotely change that person to a slave, a bioslave, a biorobot. I mean, it should wake some people up. I mean, it's like, is this what you want for yourself and your kids and your future? Because this is where the society is going. You know, back in the 1960s, Jose Delgado, Dr. Jose Delgado from Spain, who was one of these CIA psychiatrists, wrote a book about electrical stimulation of the brain toward a psycho-civilized society. This is what our elite, our satanic, our Judeo-Masonic Illuminati satanic elite envisions for the masses, a psycho-civilized society. In other words, we're going to be mind-controlled. Now, of course, Aldous Huxley wrote about this, and George Orwell wrote these visions of this dystopian future, which is now very, very near. Okay, so that's the mind, that's the Monarch program. The Phoenix program, again, is the CIA's program. The Vietnam War was a pivotal event, of course, in America between in the 60s and 70s, and it was a disaster on every front, but except for from the military and military-industrial complex point of view, because they made a lot of money and they got to test all their weapons, and they got to push forward their agenda, which is global domination by this elite, you know, step by step, and one world government, of course, you know, and that's where they're going. And we are being marginalized as a population. I mean, I was brought up with, you know, going to school and learning about the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution and the notion that government serves the people, government of the people, by the people, and for the people, said Lincoln. Well, somewhere along the line, certainly after World War II, the government got the idea that their function is to control the people. And to exploit the people and to enslave the people. So in other words, they've become a criminal entity. They are a criminal mafia. There's no question in my mind. I mean, this is now so well established. But you know, okay, so in the Phoenix program, this was a program between about 1967 and 1971 or two, in which the military had gone over there in 64 with 400,000 troops after the CIA prepared Vietnam for this since 1952 or 51. So it was a CIA war between 51 or 52 and then 64. Then the DOD came in with, you know, hundreds of thousands of troops. And but even then, because the Vietnamese had been fighting a guerrilla war against the French and the Chinese forever, and they knew how to do it, America was losing. And so the CIA brought in some smart guys from Harvard, Dr. Robert Comer, you know, one of the greatest evil men, I think, in the history of the world. And then Nelson Brigham, also, I think, from Harvard, who also maybe worked at Ford. These guys are bureaucrats, and they're trying to figure out how to use computers and how to use bureaucracy to take out the domestic infrastructure. The people who are not fighting actually in Vietnam, the Vietnamese, you know, postmen and teachers and bureaucrats, people who were considered to be supporting the Viet Cong infrastructure, the VCI infrastructure, as they call it. Well, so they devised a way to do this, and they set up interrogation centers all over the country. And they would, of course, torture these people, always to death, by the way. It's very brutal. And somewhere upwards of 20 to 60,000 civilians were killed in this way. Of course, this complete violation of the Geneva Accords. But this is the U.S. government's criminal state and has been all my life. And I just turned 70, Andy. So that's a little perspective. In other words, we've had a 70-year reign of terror by the CIA. Well, let me read a little summary out of this book by Marshall Thomas, Monarch, the New Phoenix Program. If we go to page, we're still in the introduction here, and we go to page 27. New Phoenix, USA. The Vietnam War was the formative experience for a generation of CIA and military intelligence personnel involved in the Phoenix program. They viewed the military defeat in Vietnam as a betrayal on the home front, a loss of will by domestic political enemies. That would be the students and professors who were protesting the Vietnam War. In other words, and I was one of them, we didn't want America to be fighting Vietnamese peasants 13,000 miles away who didn't even know what communism was. They were just trying to survive. We thought this was a bad way for our government to behave. They looked at us as enemies. They looked at the defeat in Vietnam as a betrayal on the home front, a loss of will by domestic political enemies, not a military failure against a nationalist revolution fought as a guerrilla war. The Phoenix Program, assassinating suspected VC or Viet Cong sympathizers in a systematic manner, worked well and is the blueprint for the current black op targeting hundreds and perhaps thousands of loyal Americans, and I would say many millions now, probably over 20, using state-of-the-art microwave, MW, and radio frequency radiation, RFR, weapons. And of course, all these have been developed since World War II, also in a very covert manner. But all the patents are there. Any dummy can investigate this stuff and learn what I've learned and Marshall Thomas learned. The motivation to suppress domestic dissidents and to assassinate loyal American opposition stems from the perception of dissent against war as treason. This, when of course, this was an undeclared war. So these guys are totally criminal. Congress never declared this war. This was a police action that turned into a war illegally. This philosophy is stated very, very clearly in the Mind War paper written for the NSA, National Security Agency, by General Paul Vallely and Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino, the Satanist, by the way, founder of Temple of Set and pedophile. The DOD, Department of Defense, has a huge stake in futuristic technology that kills by ionizing and non-ionizing radiation. Ionizing would be the nuclear weapons, and non-ionizing, would be these electromagnetic weapons that you can't see. The quote-unquote non-lethal weapons are neuroweapons that we talked about last week. These leave little or no trace. The indiscriminate killing of the Phoenix program now continues on American soil, and by the way, in England, Andy, and throughout the world. The terms soft kill, slow kill, and silent kill refer to the new way of killing the enemy in conflicts short of war and the small wars of the future. You have to get into these guys' mindset. These guys are killers. That's what they do. They're professional killers. And they found lots and lots of very, very exotic, these are exotic weapons, exotic ways to kill people now. The counterinsurgency, quote-unquote, doctrine has now been applied to the home front so that the perceived betrayal of the military, and you see, the military is now ruling, so they're the boss. So if somebody betrays the military, they're the enemy. See, the military is supposed to serve the government, which is supposed to serve the people, but now everything's upside down. The counterinsurgency doctrine has now been applied to the home front so that the perceived betrayal of the military in Vietnam will not be repeated. That's right. They're taking out the potential protesters, and they've got now ways to even read people's minds to the extent, and you've seen this in some of the movies, the name will come to me in a minute, but where they're going to do pre-crime prevention, you know, well, this person might be
Minority Report.
That's it, Minority Report. Yes, we get a lot of the flavor of these things from the movies. The generation of CIA and military intelligence, led by Shackley, Ted Shackley, CIA, Richard Helms, and William Casey, have built the perfect beast using selective assassination that leaves no trace. Isn't this sweet now? Isn't this warm your little cockles? You want to go out and celebrate the 4th of July now? The ability to cull the human herd with silent kill technology allows a few personalities to remake the entire society in their own image, and they're psychopaths, of course, so that means we get a psychopathic society. Extremely low-frequency ELF technology slowly kills with non-ionizing radiation. You know, these would be the microwave and acoustic weapons, so we can talk in detail. We can do a whole show on that if you want to talk about that. The new buzzwords at the Pentagon are soft kill, synthetic telepathy, and psychotronics. Of course, the Russians are all into this and have been in a electromagnetic psychotronic war during the Cold War with the United States, and that's what the Cold War was kind of really about. And now both countries have these technologies highly perfected. Another means of attack on targets is the Smirnov patent that uses subliminal suggestion to manipulate human behavior. Military intelligence officers involved in remote viewing and developing these, quote, non-lethal weapons control SciTech Corporation. Emotional manipulation is accomplished, this is with frequencies now, using Dr. Michael Persinger's work to remotely project emotional states that the brain entrains or locks onto and emulates. There's no firewall with the brain, and we are electrochemical beings, Andy, so whatever frequencies or electromagnetic field is projected around us then will affect us. You know, one can broadcast rage or fear at an individual target to manipulate and control them. As if these methods were not enough to torture and murder people, add to this nightmarish toolbox organized gang stalking. CIA created cults. There's a whole show right there. And other like Jamestown and Branch Davidians, et cetera. And Heaven's Gate. And other cause-oriented groups are used to induce further trauma in the target by actively harassing them in public in a neutralization technique described in counterintelligence operations manuals that are aimed at enemy agents. Okay, we've been talking about gang stalking. This is what it is. This comes out of MK Ultra mind control experiments and ways to manipulate human behavior. I've heard it referred to as the Barham psychodrama technique. We're weaponizing psychology again, and we're figuring out ways to break down the human will or the human personality. And apparently there's no limit of money that will be spent to take out these quote-unquote enemies, these quote-unquote dissidents, who are actually the real patriots. In the race to develop new weapons, it has always been necessary to test them on human beings. Perfecting the latest weapons designed to kill slowly and silently, as well as perfecting the process of controlling the human mind, is no different. Once the weaponry has been perfected on these few hundred thousand people, well, many more, the same techniques will be applied en masse to humanity as a whole. Well, think about that while you're, you know, getting drunk and watching fireworks, you know. I mean, the U.S. government has the means to enslave everyone and kill anyone indiscriminately. Now that's an awesome power, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, you break in if you'd like, Andy. I mean, that's a pretty succinct definition from Marshall Thomas, Monarch, the New Phoenix Program. Should be on everybody's shelf in their book, in their library, and then it should be read with underlined, read several times so that people understand it. Because people are living in we are dissociated. We're not connected to reality. This is reality. The reality is the military has the capability to kill anyone, anytime, silently, secretly, and is doing so with millions of people around the world and culling the herd right now.
Thank you, Alex. I was just going to ask a question, really, and there's a guy who's a regular on Jeff Rentz's show, and I know you're a regular on Jeff's show because I always listen to you on there. And he's a guy in England. He's called Tim Refat, and he lives over in the South Coast in Brighton, where I've visited a few times in my life. That was the local seaside where I grew up. It was, if you wanted to go to the seaside, you always went to Brighton. I haven't been there for years. But basically, I don't know if you've heard him, but he gets involved in all this... Well, he's interested in the Illuminati occult rituals and a variety of other things. But he claims that the British government have been after him for years to the extent that he has to live in a Faraday cage, you know, that's where he has to sleep. He says that the security services are still microwaving his floor. He sees microwave vans outside that are literally, they've never moved to the extent that people have been putting graffiti on them, and he believes microwaves are coming at him from there. He walks around Brighton, and he always has to take a change of clothes because someone, if he sees anyone coming near him with a rucksack, they might spray something out in their rucksack at him, and he needs to quickly change his shirt and things like that because it's some sort of toxic substance. He says that if you go back to the British army and in Northern Ireland, and they were using similar tactics on the IRA over there, and they even used these sort of tactics. There were certain roads in Ireland, Northern Ireland rather, that were very big Catholic enclaves where they believed terrorism was emanating from, and a load of people there are no longer there because they died of cancer, as did a majority of these women who were the Greenham Common protesters in the 1980s, and that was when there was American nuclear weapons being put in to the UK in a place called Greenham Common, and these women were chaining themselves to the railings to prevent it from happening because they were CND peace campaigners. So that's a bit of a mouthful there, but it's just, I wanted to bring up the microwaving side of things because this is obviously an element of gang stalking, and if you believe that this is something that is actually realistic and is happening, because Tim certainly seems very genuine in the way he expresses it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I've read Tim's stuff. I think he's very intelligent, very aware. They often go after smart people, and of course they want to discredit them by making them look crazy. And we can do a whole show on that too. But on the microwaves, please, you know, if you're in Britain, listen to your own people. Listen to Barry Trower, you know, who was with, I think, MI5 or MI6 and has a whole career working with these microwave weapons. And Mark Steele is another one who is coming out, another Brit, who's coming out very strong. Watch out. Don't do 5G. It's not what you think it is. These millimeter waves, these gigahertz waves, are weaponized. You know, this is the same, 95 gigahertz is the same frequencies that are used in the military's active denial system for crowd control, where they give you the perception of, you know, burning heat on your skin. And the 5G can also be used to map any room and identify targets. And not only that, not only identify them, but, you know, shoot them, you know, with these electromagnetic bullets, you might say. I mean, these are silent weapons. And the whole system is a weapons system. We have a world that's taken over by the military. So, yeah, the British and the Americans have been working on these things in tandem. The Soviets also, although this was more kind of a Cold War competition, but the Soviet and American technologies have gone back and forth. So now the global elite has the access to all this stuff. So Tim Rifat has been working hard to try to expose it. He's one of the many hard workers. You know, you're subjected to so much trauma on a daily basis that, you know, you start to act a little crazy, you know, maybe wear a tinfoil hat or, you know, get in a Faraday cage, you know, trying to avoid these electromagnetic weapons. The fact is, it's very difficult to counter, to find the right countermeasures. That's the term, military term, to find the countermeasures that will neutralize these technologies. Because, again, their military is 50, 60, 70, 80 years ahead of the rest of us in terms of their development of these weapons. So I'm glad you brought that up, because Tim Rifat's another good authority on this, and it shows that, you know, people in Britain are very, very, very much in danger of these same technologies. And the other book that I wanted to mention here, Andy, is a book that I can just keep rereading. This is by Mark M. Rich. It's called New World War, Revolutionary Methods for Political Control. And again, it's got all the patents. It's got all the military documents. It explains the whole thing. I don't think it ever uses the word gang stalking once, but you know exactly what's going on. I mean, gang stalking is just one of their techniques, and we can talk about that too. But here's what it says just on the back of the book. A silent war is taking place in cities all over the planet. It is covered up by the media, mental health system, non-governmental organizations, and our elected officials. Now that the financial elite are finished using the U.S. military and allied forces to conquer nations in their quest for global domination, they're neutralizing individuals and groups of resistors who live among the people. So this is kind of a mopping up operation for the New World Order, if you wish. To do this, they have recruited a major portion of the civilian population, the so-called surveillance role players, etc., which is used as a surrogate force to persecute those who have been identified as quote-unquote enemies. These are the truth tellers, whistleblowers, people of conscience, Christians, veterans, constitutionalists, etc. They would find their way onto the terrorism watch list. Secretly, by the way, because it's classified. You can't find out if you're on there. As part of the same agenda, the security forces are conducting psychological operations on civilians and torturing them with directed energy weapons. Yeah, let's have another beer and celebrate our independence, huh? The entire operation is in service to some very wealthy psychopaths who rule our society as part of a global revolution intended to result in a planetary fascist dictatorship known as the New World Order. So, you know, Mark Rich writes very clearly, very simply, the weapons being used, the technologies being used are very complex. A lot of science has gone into this stuff. But Mark Rich has summarized it in this book, which I think is a pretty big book. But I would recommend, again, everybody buy a copy of this and have it. This is for your self-defense. What I'm doing, Andy, I regard as self-defense. Somebody in the government has declared war on me. I realized it in 2013, and I've looked at all the techniques that they use, you know, such as they use on all the other TIs, or slight differences, but in general, it's similar protocols. And now our challenge is to stay alive, to stay in our homes, because they want to make you homeless and want to make you broke and want to get you out on the street. They want to kill you. If you commit suicide, that's a victory for them. So let's not get too warm and fuzzy. These are killers. And all of the people that are involved, the community level, the neighborhood watch groups that are, you know, vigilantes, getting those terrorists, you know, they are actually the criminals. They are the terrorists. They think they're dupes. They're what Lenin called useful idiots. I would call them useless idiots because I see them, you know, almost daily. People who are have a cell phone app and they're making a little bit of money or Bitcoin or gift cards or whatever, and then they're following instructions. And they'll go here and, you know, or report the location of this person, and they scroll through the pictures on the app. And so these people are all over in my life. You know, even in Mexico, I go into a little town I've never been to, and there's guys on the edge of town, you know, stationed almost like a military thing with their phones in front of them, looking down at me or looking up at me, looking down the phone, looking up. we've militarized the entire society to expunge these few individuals that insist on telling the truth. So the truth, again, is the greatest enemy of the state, obviously, as Joseph Goebbels said right at the Nuremberg trials. That's such a good quote that, and I was going to mention it today, but again, I've had computer problems today, Andy. But basically, he says, you know, the government has to, you know, tell lies, and the bigger the lie, the more people will believe it. So you just repeat it. And then he said, and people must be kept in the dark about the reason we're telling these lies, the consequences of these lies, and if the truth gets out that, you know, these lies are actually going to result in one world fascist dictatorship, which they all do, then the game's up for them. So therefore, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. And this is the fact. The truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Some of us can't buy into that. You know, like I said, I don't want to live a lie. I don't want to live all these lies of the global war on terror and global warming and 9/11 was done by Osama bin Laden. I mean, all these are intelligence operations. These are lies. They're cover stories to manipulate the people into one world government. And, you know, once you start to see the truth, and if you have the belief that people own the government should serve the people, then this becomes intolerable. And you have to step up and insist upon, you know, your First Amendment rights in America, which is freedom of speech, and insist upon telling the truth. So the truth is very complex. It's not very warm and fuzzy in this case. But, I'd rather have a hard truth than a pleasant lie, because a hard truth will at least allow us to see reality as it is and to deal with it. But most Americans, I would say 90%, are living in this delusionary world, which has been created for them by the media and the government. and how we break that down, how we, you know, make inroads into that. Well, that's our job, Andy, is to try to keep pushing the truth and you know, hope that God and humans will kind of, humans particularly, God's awake, but these humans will start to wake up.
Yes, absolutely. And I think what you said in the last show that I read from the show description, and that is that we need to pray to God but keep rowing to shore, because of course, you know, a lot of people think, especially I'm very open about my belief that it's got so bad that it's only going to be divine intervention that's going to help us now. But when I was speaking to, for example, Dr. Peter Hammond, he doesn't believe, he believes that, but he doesn't believe that that necessarily has to be the return of Jesus Christ. It's a divine intervention. You know, God can intervene anytime that he likes. It doesn't have to be the return that so many of us are awaiting. But I think it's because what we see today is right out the books of Revelation, deep into that chapter, that we're, deep into that book. So we're getting towards the end of that book, really, with what's happening to us. And it's also identifying who the enemy is and who the chosen people, as it's referred to, are. They're the people that are under attack. And it's really quite astonishing. And I think that really another thing that's going on, that's why I found it very interesting that in the last show you talked about the elite's plan to ascend to godhood via robotic secret mapping and digitization of human brains and nervous systems, and also the satanization of society. Because, of course, if you can make everybody evil to an extent, you can make everyone disobedient to God, then why would he bother coming? You know, he's got no one to come back to if there's no one there that follows him. He's going to be, well, that's a dead society, a failed experiment. And I think that that's why they're doing it. I think that's why they're doing all these things. And I think that with the technology, they honestly think that they can beat God. And we know that these people lied to Jesus Christ's face. And bold-faced lied to him. And he just absorbed it and just continued on. And so they've got no shame. And I think that when we look at other so-called events in World War II, you know, it makes it very clear that the enemy, it talks in the book of Obadiah and the parable of the wheat and the tares of, you know, what is going to happen to them in these end times. And that's very similar to what they claim happened to them back in World War II. So on that basis, I would say that that's an attempt by them to lie to God again, to make them, make him feel that he's all, they've already had the punishment that's prophesied in the Bible. I think that these people are so insane at this point that they will do anything, because even if they're clutching at straws, they feel they have to be doing something, even if the smartest ones among them must realize that what they're going to do is a fruitless task in the end. It's not a question of if, but when the return takes place, Eric.
Wow, you said a mouthful there, Andy. There's several things that I could respond to, but I was very intrigued with what you said. You start reading up on the original Illuminati program from 1776, developed, you know, with the Rothschilds and the Sanhedrin, by an individual named Adam Weishaupt, who was a Jewish Satanist, also a Jesuit professor for a while. But the Frankist Jews at that time apparently believed that, okay, our Messiah is only going to come back if all humans are really good or all humans are really bad. And they decided that it's more likely that they could corrupt everybody than they could actually get people to live moral lives. So they have taken it upon themselves ever since to try to corrupt human society and institutions, you know, with the idea that this is going to help bring back their Messiah, who obviously has to be then, you know, Satan. who else would come back to a society full of completely rotten individuals? But this is what they want, and this is what they want to do with TIs. They want to satanize us, And I know this from personal experience. Now, you know, the Bible talks about making war on the saints. Well, I certainly never mistook myself for a saint, Andy. But maybe the standards are so low now that I'm a saint. I don't know. But
I feel the same way. It's funny how I mean, when I think of my past, and you know, I didn't do anything particularly bad, but I was certainly an atheist at best up until only, you know, most of my life. I always, I believe in something, but I'm more likely to believe in the likes of the X-Files. And I think some of that is actually quite interesting. I think that that's another thing that they leak out what they're up to in. But yeah, I sort of look at myself now, and my mother said it herself, you know, did you ever imagine that you'd ever be you'd even be a pastor? And of course, absolutely not. I had no interest in the Bible or anything like that. I thought it was all the fairy tale that I was told that it was. And the only reason I go along with it now is that there's no other book that I'm aware of that tells us what is happening today as the Book of Revelation. Back to you.
Yeah, well, you know, and it is extraordinarily clarifying. Unfortunately, the Synagogue of Satan now includes a very, very large number of Christians who have been duped by all these false translations by the Scofield Bible, and you know, which says, you know, if you bless Israel, you know, you'll be blessed. And this goes back to John Nelson Darby, the British occultist preacher. Scofield was an American bigamist and con man who was paid a lot of money from a Jew named Samuel Untermeyer to write his cliff notes to the Bible, which then reinterprets it. So what we're dealing now with a lot of revisions of the Bible that are not very biblical at all, but work to serve the interests of this Israeli Judeo Masonic New World Order. And so a lot of evangelicals, unfortunately, are just huge Zionists. And, you know, they're a huge part of the problem. So just being a Christian, I think, doesn't exactly mean that you're going to be part of the solution. It could mean you're part of the problem. That's where we need to find the voices of wisdom, like Tex Mars, like yourself, like a guy named Chuck Baldwin, who has come out understanding finally this Israeli Zionist deception and speaking very courageously about it, because now it's a little bit dangerous to do this. But yeah, it is very clarifying. The Bible is very clarifying, but certain misinterpretations of the Bible can only make things worse. And that's what I think we see with a lot of the evangelicals in America now. You know, I mean, Pompeo, our Secretary of State, former CIA director, is an evangelical. And, you know, his quote was, he was at West Point, and he said, you know, I was at West Point, and I'm a graduate here, and our motto was, you know, don't lie, steal, or cheat, or associate with those who do. But then I went on to become head of the CIA, and, well, we lied, we cheated, we stole. And that was the whole course of, you know, the whole course there, you know. In other words, that's all the CIA does. CIA is an integral part of the Synagogue of Satan, because it's all about lying and murdering. And that's what the Synagogue of Satan is. So things are very confusing. And, you know, I can understand why Americans would want to have another beer and look at fireworks on the 4th of July. And the people in Britain would just as soon, you know, worry about what's right in front of them and try to make their lives work. But these bigger picture topics are going to, well, they are affecting us all more and more every day. And the U.S. military is totally in the mind control, brain-to-computer interface, brain-to-brain interface. This is what's happening to TIs. We've been experimented on. We as a group have been experimented on as non-consensual experimentees. Even in the 90s, the U.S. government admitting some half a million, 500,000 Americans had been guinea pigs. We have 400,000 atomic soldiers alone. That is, soldiers who were told to stand here and see what the effect of nuclear radiation would be on them. And, of course, they died over the years prematurely with various cancers. We have the soldier survivors of the USS Liberty attacked by Israel in 1967 as a pretext The script was that it would be sunk to the bottom. They would blame the Egyptians, and then U.S. would come in on the side of Israel in the Six-Day War and give Israel their greater Israel. Well, that didn't work because the ship didn't go down. But we still have, you know, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 survivors from that brutal attack, which was obviously by the Israelis, another false flag attempt, which didn't work. And there's never been any, you know, real... the government, U.S. government has never said, oh, gosh, we're sorry, you know, for killing you in all those illegal experiments in which we used you as lab rats. So the pattern continues, and it will continue as long as these criminals get away with their crimes. I think Israel has controlled America, or the Jewish world, Judaism has controlled America. For many decades, certainly since the assassination of Kennedy, probably since 1913 and the passage of the Federal Reserve Act, which gave the control of the U.S. economy to this group of mostly Jewish international bankers. And then in 1947, the National Security Act gave this group of mostly Jewish nationals, international bankers, their own private army, the CIA. And the NSA. And don't make any mistake about it, the CIA guys are military. You know, they are military intelligence, and they are working for the power elite. They're working for the City of London, Wall Street, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds. They are not working for the Americans. They never did. This is the synagogue of Satan. You have to put the CIA at the center of it. And, of course, other intelligence agencies, you know, in Britain and elsewhere, have worked for this psychopathic elite, rather than for the people. So this is the wake-up that has to happen. And I don't know if Jesus is going to come back in the near future. I mean, I'm praying for that. I'd like to see him come back and kick ass and take names and make it right. I really would. But again, pray to God and keep rowing to shore, because we don't know that day. You know, we have to do our best. We can't... We have to try to do what he did when he was here. He was here to expose and defeat the works of the devil. And that's our job, I think. I think that's our job. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of pushback, and you're not going to get very far. You're not going to last very long unless you're pretty well grounded in your faith. You know, if you're just a good doer, and Tex Mars makes this point, you know, you're going to get clobbered. But by doing what we're doing, we're really forced ourselves to, you know, examine our own faith and conscience and become stronger in the faith, because that's the only salvation we have. That's the only safety we have, really, is Jesus Christ.
I agree. And that brings us to the end of our time. I mean, it's... You know, even situations, I heard Alison Chablot on the Graham Hart Show earlier this week, and she pointed out how all the death threats and things that she had over time that she reported to the police by the enemy, none of these people were ever prosecuted. She had actual names and what have you. When Robert Faurisson was assaulted in France, and you saw those pictures of his bloodied face and all that, he had the name of the person who did it. Nothing was done. It goes on and on and on. The police are just an extension of the enemy. They're not your friends. They're not here to protect you. And having been a former one myself, I'm very pleased I'm a former one. And I regret having become involved there. Because even, you know, when I look at my time there, I could see the writing on the wall. They were talking about speech and that there. And, oh, if this person's offended and all this. And this isn't the way that a government needs to go with the majority. It should be the majority. And the minority need to conform to the will of the majority. You know, in the sense of people can all have, I fully believe in the free speech ideal. That's what I fight for. But what we've got is we've got everything turned on its head. We've got this tiny minority that are affecting what we can and can't say in case they're offended. And this simply is not acceptable. And so many people are saying that now. And what the enemy wants is they want the violence. We don't want violence. That's why we call for open dialogue. And we constantly say that we're against violence. But they want violence, because if they get violence, they've got more guns than anybody. They can then introduce martial law. And in the run-up to before they do, they hope that, you know, they've got the various communities in the countries fighting amongst themselves. So, Eric, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Fantastic programme, as always. Eric's websites will be listed in the post for this show. I'll be looking forward to having Eric back on in the future. I'll be back with all of you on Monday. Of course, we've got the weekend coming up. So have a wonderful weekend, folks. And until Monday, bye for now.
This has been the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on Eurofolk Radio. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. You can support Andy's work by going to his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, where his book, The Synagogue of Satan, is available in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.